Good afternoon. We'd like to welcome everyone to this afternoon's study session for the Mesa City Council for Monday, January 9th, 2012. And the first item on the agenda is to review tonight's regular council meeting agenda. All right, starting down on page 2, items 3A through 3D. Oh, you're not ready yet? Okay.
Good Lord. Let's go back if we miss something.
Are you connected yet?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, thank you, Mayor.
3A through 3D?
Perfect.
Items 3E through 4D?
Yeah, I do. Thank you, Mayor.
Councilmember Higgins.
Item 4A. It actually kind of goes with 4A, 4B, and 4C. And I just like to get Dr. Sorensen up because she always looks so nice on council meeting days and every other day. The question I had is, the three items are kind of related, right? They're needed to do water testing for compliance.
Right.
Okay, so my question is, I should put my glasses on so I can read my notes. Have we ever thought of going out for our analysis to a private company that does lots and lots and lots of them? And I would have thought over time it might be cheaper or not.
Right. Thank you, Mayor, Councilwoman Higgins. Yes, we do look at that. In fact, let me first introduce Jen Hetherington. She is our Environmental Programs Compliance Administrator. Did I get that right? Something like that. She's in charge of the lab and our environmental compliance. Yes,
something
Mayor.
Like that.
I'll let her say it.
Well, it's a very long title. It barely fits on the card. It's Regulatory Compliance Program Manager.
Okay, something like that.
Something like that.
She's in charge of the lab. Yeah.
She's in charge of the lab. So one of the things, but yes, we do. We look at two main factors when we decide to purchase equipment or go out and use private labs. And one is time, because time is of the essence in regulatory matters, and there is generally a difference. We're, depending on the instrument and the test, able to turn things around more quickly than some of the outside labs. So that's really important. But then the second is cost. And we do compare the cost at which we can perform these tests to the cost at which the outside labs can perform these tests. So absolutely, we do factor that in, and it turns out that we're very competitive.
So is it close? Is it it'd be great to see those numbers someday. Maybe we can do them in audit and finance. Councilmember Finter, wouldn't that be fun to look at?
Right. I'd be happy to do that. And I know Councilmember Finter has also expressed some interest in understanding, what we have in the lab, how it's staffed, what kind of tests we do, and over time, how we've decided which instruments to have and which instruments.
That sounds like a field trip.
Yeah. That too.
It really is.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Right? We'd be more than happy to do that. Yes.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else on 3E through 4D? 4E and 4F?
Yeah.
Councilmember Higgins?
You did say 4E.
I did say 4E.
This was a little staff report that kind of threw a whole bunch of stuff into one number, and it's like a whole meters installation is like $500,000. And I just wondered, we're doing 35 of them, and there's got to be more to this than just $500,000. So what's going on, or is there more detail you could share?
Okay. Hi, Mayor. Okay. Councilwoman Higgins. Yes, we do a slate of these every year. We try to go out and do a slate of these. These are very large meter assemblies, and they're located throughout the city. They generally serve very large commercial or industrial purposes. Many of these are below ground, which means that when we service them, we're dealing with confined space issues, which is really not ideal. So as part of this project, we bring them above ground. We also retrofit them with backflow to prevent contamination into the system.
So is when we quote on these, is it one big package, including meters and installation? So it's not like you buy meters from one guy and installation from somebody else?
Actually, the meters are separate, but this includes the cost of the conversion from below ground to above ground, all the public outreach that has to take place with the community and in deciding where to put the new assembly, all of those kinds of things.
And do we look at going to smart meters for commercial usage?
You know, we look at smart meters all the time, and we do use them in select cases in the city, particularly in areas that are hard to access or that have aggressive animals. That does happen. Mm-hmm. But we are actually, smart meters are a little bit different for the city of Mesa than they are for some of the other utilities, because remember that there are times when our meter readers are actually reading 3 meters at one location, and that makes their labor extremely efficient. So we have to compare the cost of that labor to the cost to change out those meters and to convert to smart meters, and that doesn't always pan out. But that is something that Frank and I are continuing to look at and investigate.
So like the actual quote that purchasing has the meters and who responded to that, and then has the cost of doing it like separate.
This contract is a construction contract that we bid, and it will in many times include relocating the piping because we're going from below ground to above ground. There's a visual impact to the property. So prior to doing these projects, we go out and meet with each individual property owner and talk to them about the change and how it's going to look. And you've seen them around town when they come above ground, they'll have the big backflow preventer and the valves. And so this is construction cost to include, many times includes piping to relocate them to a certain area where they're not quite as visually obstructive. We also work with the individual property owners. We may enhance the landscaping around them. Sometimes they have cages around them to prevent vandalism and, you know, people accessing them that shouldn't, as well as sometimes we'll put in little screen walls. But these are very large assemblies.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Items 4G through 5C. As part of 5C, I'd like to introduce, and 5C is the Benedictine item. We have in the audience today a couple of very special people. I think we met. Did we introduce you, Charles, last week at the press conference we did? But I'd like to introduce Charles Gregory, who's the executive vice president, but also Mr. Bill Bartlett, who's a trustee of the university. And Bill is a resident of the Valley or a visitor in the Valley?
Visitor. I live in Chicago, right near the university, actually.
Great. Well, we're very welcome to have you here. And
thank you.
And Charlie, I'll tell you, I've been around now the weekend, and people are really excited about the news. Gotten a lot of great feedback, and something interesting. I was down in Tucson yesterday, and even had several people down in Tucson come up and approach me because they'd heard the news and they were real excited about the what's going on and the potential or the fact that Benedictine's going to come to Mesa. So,
thank you. Well,
so thank you. So thanks for being here. 5D through 6D, 6C, I mean. Councilmember Finter.
If we have just a moment, I know we have a busy schedule. If we could have Mr. McRae come up and on 5D, there's some positive news there. I think it's because of good work that's been accomplished in the markets, and I was hoping he'd take just a minute to tell us that.
Thank you, Councilman Finter, Mayor and Council. The RFP was issued earlier in 2011, and we've gone through the analysis process. It looks like the contracts are going to come in with an opportune time in the market. Natural gas prices are down, and that's looks to be the source of these resources. So it'll be natural gas fired, very efficient, fairly new generation, not located in the valley, so minimal environmental impacts. Looks like the savings are going to be close to about $1.4 million for our customers that absent some other change to our energy cost adjustment factor mechanism, that'll be about a 7.6% reduction in our customers' bills on an annual basis.
Annual basis.
Yes, sir.
Great. Just quickly explain how that pass-through works. So it's not necessarily a rate issue because it just gets directly passed on to the customer.
Right. The energy cost adjustment factor mechanism is designed to track costs as they go up and down. In this instance, costs would be going down, and again, absent some other direction from the council to stabilize that rate, the rate would go down and customers' bills would go down by a commensurate amount.
Good. That is good news. Thank you. Appreciate that. And items 6D through 7A. Okay, I think on your 7A, we were given photos. Yeah, photos of projects. I think we had asked for that. So these are other projects the developer on 7A. And since that's off consent agenda, we'll have a discussion on that in the regular council meeting. Okay, anything else? Good. The next item on the agenda is a presentation and status report discussed by direction of the IMESA Steering Committee. Mr. Schofield.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Kathy. You want to run this for me? I'm technologically crippled, so I'm going to have Kathy run this for me so that I can speak. I'd like to thank the City Council for having us today to give a status report. I've just got some prepared comments, and then we'll go ahead and jump into the presentation. I want to begin by thanking the City Council for selecting citizens from your individual districts who have represented you well on the IMESA Steering Committee. Over the years, I've worked on several city boards and committees for the city, and by far, this one was the most productive and enjoyable because of the people you chose to serve on the committee. Again, I personally thank you for your selections. We began our task with the foundation of the mission that you as a council outlined for the IMESA Steering Committee, which was to go out among the community, the citizens and the voters, to find out what transformative ideas and visions they have for the future of Mesa. We as a committee feel that we have lived up to that mission. As background, in our first meeting as a committee, as I looked around the room, I knew one committee member well. All of the other members were either new to me or acquaintances. Knowing that you as council members would select only those whom you felt had the skills, background, personal strength, and interest in working on the committee, I realized that this could be a challenge and a wonderful opportunity to work with strong personalities. To help keep us all focused on the mission of the committee, I challenged the members that when they came to the IMESA meetings, number one, I gave them three challenges. One, to leave their egos at the door when they came to the committee meetings. Two, to take their own ideas of what projects they wanted and to mentally write them on a sheet of paper, fold it, put it in an envelope, seal it, and set it to the side until after we had heard from the community. And the third point was that our goal was to listen to the community, to their ideas, that we as a committee needed to keep an open mind and not pursue personal agendas so that we could bring about results that we could all be proud of and support before the City Council. As chairman of the IMESA Steering Committee, I can say that the members of this committee exceeded all expectations in holding to these three challenges as outlined above. We realize that there are maybe some in the community who may want to detract from the committee's work by pointing to the low citizen turnout at some of the public meetings that the committee held, somewhat similar to the low voter turnout for city elections. However, I believe that the reason for the low turnout is twofold. One, the committee provided online access to register their ideas. And two, many citizens of the city that we talked to feel that this city council is doing an admirable job in running the city during this difficult economic environment and thus did not feel compelled to attend the public meetings. This last point I personally experienced after giving several IMESA presentations to community groups throughout the city over the past several months. In each presentation, I made sure to highlight the many accomplishments that this particular city council has had since being sworn in. We are excited about our work and look forward to continuing to work closely with the City Council in realizing its vision to build a better Mesa. With that, we'd like to go ahead and begin with the presentation. Now, in the overview, this again, it was a grassroots, citizen-driven effort to develop transformational ideas for the city. They didn't all have to be transformational ideas, but just ideas that members of the community felt would help build a better Mesa. We again went out to the members. Let's go ahead. And these were some of the areas that we covered. There was extensive marketing. We did iMesa crowdsourcing website where they could get on and register their ideas. And these other areas that we covered, including the iMesa village meetings. Going on to the next, what we learned were that there were some overarching themes based on the community feedback. And the examples that fit into those themes we'll go ahead and cover. Now, what I'd like to do is stress here that these are only examples. These are not prioritized. We didn't select any that we felt were the most important. We just grabbed some examples to give you here today.
Priorities are examples, or you have examples for the priorities?
These are just examples. These are not
priorities.
I'm sorry?
These are not priorities?
Oh, excuse me. I apologize.
I looked at your thing before you came in, so I'm wondering, because you have priorities here.
I apologize. I did get ahead of myself there. So thank you for getting me back online. These are the themes that came forward with the ideas that
were given. Now, how did you develop these themes? Because you had a lot of input, and you say that themes came forward. I don't imagine that people said, here's a theme of mine. They just gave you ideas as you could go, but somehow you came and you divided these or was able to group those or identify these as priorities.
We received input from over 1,000 people online and in our meetings, as well as the presentations made to the community, and over 250 ideas. So we went through a process of taking each idea and putting it into a theme or an area that it fit. And that came into one of these seven areas.
So these sort of these aren't things you developed. You're saying these developed
naturally
by they
through
sort
the
of
evolution.
Fell into certain groups.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. I apologize for not in trying to be brief for the city council that I'm not giving as much detail as maybe is wanted. One was higher education, a vibrant downtown, transportation networks, arts and culture vibrancy, sustainable economy, livability, and recreational access. Now, as we go on to each one of these areas, this is where I had intended to say that these are only examples of the ideas that were given. These are not anything that we as a committee feel should be necessarily the top priorities, just examples. So under higher education, you can see the ideas, and many of these ideas you will see actually fit into things that are already being done here in the community, such as higher education downtown. With the announcement last week with St. Benedictine, this is exactly in line with what the feedback was from the community, was providing higher education. Again, you can see the list faster than I can read them, and because of time, we'll go ahead and go to the next one. A vibrant downtown to encourage new investment, again, residential mixed. One of the ones that did come up quite often, and I will mention this, is a microbrewery. Because of the attraction that it brings and the clientele and examples that we have seen, personally I have seen in areas in the United States and what it's done to downtown areas and helping revitalize the downtown area. Next is the transportation networks. Again, light rail, which is something that this city council has really gotten behind and has pushed and is being developed quite rapidly, as a matter of fact. Others, high-speed rail. There's an idea to have high-speed rail possibly from Phoenix Gateway Airport to Sky Harbor so that we could have a real connection with Sky Harbor and develop Phoenix Gateway.
Some of those examples are pretty ambitious.
We hope they are.
Yeah, okay.
We really would like to see ambitious ideas and forward-thinking ideas. Then for the arts and cultural, you can see Buckhorn Baths, which is something that in the renovation of that is really close to the hearts of many people who have lived in Mesa a long time and are winter visitors who come. Again, you can see some of the other ideas that are there. You can read them faster than I can say them. With a sustainable economy, heat job creation, again, as you know what HEAT stands for, business-focused education, again, tying in with the idea of higher education. This way we can go after businesses, or the city council can go after businesses that are looking for a better educated or higher educated workforce. And then livability, this is something that came up with many members of the council that I met with and talked with. I really am excited about this because the community feedback was very strong in this area also. So many ideas came forward. This is something, quality of life, which may be overused, but is very important to the community here because this is where they live. They want to raise their families. They enjoy being here. And the ideas that came along from members of the council as well as the community are right in line. Recreational access, again, the same thing. Ideas here, expand the regional pool program. You can see equestrian pass and center, northeast trailheads, things such as these. So again, the next steps for us is to keep the momentum going. We have further research to do. We want to keep close interaction with the city council on these. And then in about 6 weeks or so, in February, come back to the city council after doing some more research and work and provide some possibly some specific ideas, maybe even prioritize some things. But the city council has all of these ideas that are going to be given to them so that you can review them. You can decide what it is that fits in with your ideas going forward. And moving the city forward into making it to build a better Mesa. And with that, we'd like to go ahead and open it up for questions.
Well, one of the questions I have is if there's an idea that hasn't shown up or that you don't have, was there a deadline or is this going to be
not at all? This is an ongoing process. The committee is not a sunset committee, so our work is ongoing, and we are looking for additional ideas, and the online site is open. We continue to promote that as an excellent way for members of the community to get their ideas to the committee. We review that every single day. The city staff compiles it and sends an email out to all the committee members. So it's something that is ongoing, and we hope, because not all good ideas come in at one time, we hope to see even more ideas, better ideas, and some that will be spurred on with some of the ideas that have already come in, that it will generate additional ideas.
Okay. Councilman Finter.
An observation. I had the opportunity to go to the meeting in downtown Mesa, and it was a wonderful experience. That room was packed. We had a large room, lots of outreach, a lot of excitement coming in, and I was really impressed and seeing some of the ideas that have come through, and it's also generated out in the community a lot of ideas. I see the bicycle, a gold, you know, city approach, and so it's exciting to see that there's a format now for things that we as council members hear out in the field and be able to take that and look at how future planning goes. So very impressed, very positive, and look forward to seeing how this plays out. So well, thank you for the efforts, all of you. Yeah.
Thank you, council member. We're looking, we want you to look to us as a resource and to be able to do some of the, a little bit of the necessary background work and whatnot and providing you the information that you would like in moving forward on some of these ideas.
Hey, I see behind you, and we failed to do this up front, you have several members of your committee. You want to introduce them to us?
Yes. And
I know they did a lot of work.
Thank you. I certainly was hoping that I would have time to do that, and I certainly meant to do that at the very first. Behind me is members of the committee, and if they would stand as I read their name, Bill Puffer, David Short, John Crisati, John Schroeder, Karen Frias-Long, Katie Alvarez, I'm sorry, Kate, Kay Henry, Otto Wendell, Stephen Sparks, Elizabeth Danielson, and Steve Hale. And again, these people
they deserve a round of applause. Yeah. So thank you.
without these people and their hard work, their dedication, their focus, and their lack of ego in approaching this has been an absolute delight for me to work with. And I have personally made many new friends from the members of this committee. And I thank the City Council for making the selection of these people.
Great. Any other questions? So if I'm hearing you right, just to make sure we understand, you took those examples. There's other things that are sitting out there. I'm sure there'll be other specific ideas that come in. The committee is now going to look at those and maybe narrow them down.
Right.
With some more specificity, maybe even some specific proposals that you might want to lay before the council. And you'll get back to us anywhere in the next few weeks.
That's correct.
And basically they'll be based on or lumped into these community priorities, which seems to have evolved organically from what I'm hearing.
Yes.
You,
absolutely.
The areas of importance to the citizens.
Yes. And I would encourage any of the city council who would like to talk to us about this, please get in touch with me. Many of you have. We've had an opportunity to talk. Those who have been quite busy, and it has been very busy over the past 30 days or so, please get with me, and we'll get you caught up on anything or answer any other questions you may have, and would like to hear from you regarding your ideas, which we tried to also incorporate into this.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. No other questions. Appreciate it. And thanks so much for all of you on the committee for the time you've already put in and the time I know you're going to put in and your efforts. We really appreciate it. Thank you. Item 2B is the appointment of a Housing Governing Board, and Mr. Bill Egan, who served, I think, ever since most of us have been on council and has done a great job. Do I have a motion to approve? Motion for the Vice Mayor?
Second.
Second, Councilmember Kavanaugh. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
The rest of us have to be appointed? Or?
I'm sorry, what?
No.
Oh, appointed. We have acknowledge of receipts of minutes in various boards and committees.
So
motion by the Vice Mayor, second by Councilmember Higgins. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Here reports of meetings and conferences attended. Councilmember Kavanaugh.
Thank you, Mayor. Councilmember Higgins and I attended the winter board meeting for the National League of Cities late last week in Washington, D.C., and all the committee chairs were there and the board leadership, and we had a very positive discussion outlining the what the priorities will be for National League of Cities, and our staff is working on that to narrow it down to a few key priorities. It's difficult heading into an election year, but I think we had a very positive and productive discussion, and it was very nice to see our new NLC president have the entire leadership of any NLC there. It made for a very very positive and robust discussion. We appreciate the opportunity to serve with NLC. And again, while we're there, we always get compliments on what Mace has done. And I just wanted to pass along that Don Borat, the CEO, has heard about our volunteer program and is very interested in knowing and learning more about how Mesa utilizes volunteers across its various departments and the savings to the community, because he thinks it's a best practice to show other cities how to use volunteers. So that's
great.
My report.
Thank you. Well, I got about 5 people looking at their phone to see who's ringing.
But she can't turn it off.
And she can't turn it off.
A new phone.
You know, what was the song? A little Bon Jovi. Oh, okay.
She finally had to just answer it to get it to stop.
Whatever happened to just ring, ring? I mean, before I heard a Led Zeppelin song being played. Yeah. A little black dog going out there.
Eagles.
Eagles?
Yeah.
Which one? okay. Over the weekend, I had the honor of representing the city at a couple of events. The first one was the inauguration of the new leadership in the Gila River Indian community on Saturday, and we have a new governor and vice lieutenant governor, I guess. Most people don't realize close relationship we have with Gila River Indian Community. They are members of the Phoenix Mesa Gateway Authority, serve on the board. We also do a lot of things with our water department and have a great water exchange agreement with them. And so even though I guess their main reservation doesn't border us, they do have a place of ownership in the golf course out at the former Williams Air Force Base is owned by the and operated by the Indian community. So it was great to see their new leadership and get to know them. And then yesterday I had the privilege of attending a couple of functions down in Tucson to commemorate the one-year anniversary of the tragedy that took place down there. And it was really special. They did an incredible job of commemorating that event with a couple of different events on their own. And it was just great to be able to be there to see Representative Giffords show up and to see how that community has pulled together and to be able to represent Mesa at those events. So that was really it was incredible, especially when they had the most moving one was in the afternoon. They had an event where they had speakers who got up and gave little vignettes, summaries, details of each of the people who unfortunately lost their life. And they talked about things that you wouldn't normally talk about, and everything from one of the victims' grandsons to business associates. And it wasn't like a memorial service, but it was very much like that. But the most moving part was when little Christina Taylor Green, the 9-year-old girl, her two best friends got up and gave the most amazing presentation about their best friend. Complete with photos, and to see those two, I guess now 10-year-old girls, talk about their friend the way, and they wrote most of it. You know they did, because on the screen they showed where they had written out their thoughts, and it was pretty amazing to see them, and very, very moving. So one of the, I don't want to say fun, but one of the rewarding things I get to do as mayor is when I get to represent the city at occasions like the inauguration and like that yesterday. So that's what I got to do over my weekend. So, Mr. Brady, turn time over to you.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a reminder, this coming Thursday we'll have the governor's breakfast here in Mesa, so we'll be canceling our study session for the 12th, and our next study session will be on January 19th. Also a reminder that during that time we'll be having the Martin Luther King celebration for the community. There is the parade, which is Monday morning the 16th at 11 a.m. And then that's followed by a community celebration of music and dance at the Mesa Arts Center from noon to 5 p.m. So I invite everyone to come out and participate in that. And there's more information online at the mesamlk.org. There's a lot of other activities that I didn't.
Yeah, I think there's mention. A dinner Saturday
there's
night.
Dinners and candlelight ceremonies and other things. So all that information is online at mesamlk.org.
Great. Any other business? I have a motion adjourned from Councilmember Higgins, second from Councilmember Richens. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Had to get that fourth vote. Thank you. We are adjourned.